Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday, the 1st of February, 2021. We're continuing in our series on lament and what we do whenever storm clouds gather. We've already looked the first week at turning to God. Last week was honestly crying out to God. And this week, we're going to see how we can ask boldly. On Sunday, we were looking at Psalm 22 and how that psalm was used by Jesus on the cross to cry out, "Why have you forsaken me, O Lord? Why are you so far from saving me?" And this week, instead of going through Psalm 22, we're going to look at this whole wide area of asking boldly. And each day, we're going to look at a couple of questions that have been asked in the Psalms of Lament, because similar questions come up time and time again within the Psalms. Today, we're only going to look at one question, but then each of the rest of the week, we're going to look at two questions. And today is Arise, O Lord. That this is asking God boldly to arise. We're asking God to do something. And there are at least seven Psalms where the psalmist says to God, "Arise." So he begins by turning to God. He then cries out honestly to God. And then his response is, "Lord, arise, do something about this." And we're going to look at four verses from four psalms, 3, 7, 9, and 10. But then if you want to look at more psalms, if you look at 17, 74 and 94, you'll find other occasions where this request, "Arise, O Lord," is mentioned. So these laments plead with God to fix what is wrong with the world. In other words, "Lord, here's what's wrong. This is what is not happening within the world. Will you arise and sort it out? Will you come and deal with it?" And we know that if God is moved to act, then everything's going to change. Therefore, we should ask for divine intervention. Sometimes we have problems and we come to God and we simply ask that the symptoms of the problem would be changed, or we just ask for little things to be changed. But we can actually come boldly and ask God to arise and deal with the whole situation, because he's sovereign and he's able to do it. Sometimes it may just be the little thing that God wants to change and work out, but sometimes it is the big thing as well. So we should be really coming to God and say, "Arise, O Lord, do something, please, Lord, we need you." So let's look at a few of these verses today. Here's one in Psalm 3 and verse 7. "Arise, O Lord." So it's that command again that we see. "Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked." Now, this may not seem like the sort of thing we would want to say if anyone. It doesn't seem to fit in with our modern world. "Strike all my enemies. Break the teeth of the wicked." This is quite severe, but the psalmist here is under incredible pressure. This is the type of thing that these people are trying to do to him. And so he's coming to God and he's saying, "Arise, O Lord, deal with this, sort this out. Deliver me, O my God, and all these things will fit into place. Then you can deal with the enemies. I don't want to have to do it, Lord, but you can do this with righteousness and with justice." And therefore, it's a command to bring to God, to ask boldly that God will do it. Look at Psalm 7 again. We've got that same command again. "Arise, O God." And what we said on Sunday was that whenever we ask, we should ask with boldly, with confidence, based on the character of God. We know what God is like, and we know what God normally does, so therefore we should ask within those bounds, as it were. We shouldn't ask God to do something that is outside of his normal remit of action or his normal character. So here the psalmist in Psalm 7 is saying, "In your anger." And we know that God can be an angry God whenever people sin and disobey him. So the psalmist here is saying, "Look, Lord, these things are not working. There's no justice. This is not the way that the world should be. So, Lord, this must make you angry. So arise and do something about it. Rise up against the rage of my enemy." So it's God's anger that then is going to come against the rage of the enemies. God's anger is righteous, the enemies are sinful, and therefore we're asking God to act. Awake, my God, decree justice. So this awaking and arising are two things that are the same here, and the result is justice that the psalmist wants to see. Then again, in Psalm 9, arise, O Lord, it's that same command again. Let not man triumph, let the nations be judged in your presence. So Lord, stand up. Don't let man and his evil schemes get away with this. Lord, you are the judge, and you're the one who can do these things. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. And again, this is fitting in with God's character. He is appealing to the Lord, the one who is in control, and he's asking that these people would realise that they're only men. They don't come close to God and who he is and what he can do. God is the judge, and he doesn't want to see men triumph. And then in Psalm 10, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God, do not forget the helpless. So in this case, there are those who are helpless and they are being persecuted and they're not being able to live the lives that they should be able to live. So the psalmist comes and says, arise, O Lord, do something about this. You are able to. Just lift up your hand, O God. You can sort out the helpless. You're a God who remembers helpless, who is the help to the helpless. You're the one who cares about these people, so don't forget about them. Do something for them. And so here we have, in each one of these psalms, we've looked at Psalm 3 and 7 and 9, and then here Psalm 10. You can also go to Psalm 17, Psalm 74 and Psalm 94 to find this phrase, arise, O Lord, and ask God to do these things. So whenever we bring our problems to God and our complaints to God, we're saying, but Lord, I know that you are able to do these things, so rise up, do what is in keeping with your character. And we might do that with sin in the world. Whenever we see people disobeying God, arise, O Lord, deal with it, sort it out. And we come with confidence to ask God, knowing that he's able to do these things. It may not be his plan at this present time, and so we need to be ready to accept his answer to our prayers. So let's bow in prayer together. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God who is sovereign and in control. You're the God of justice, and you're able to bring about justice. You don't sit meekly waiting for circumstances to change. You are able to change the circumstances. So Lord, we come with the psalmist today and we ask, arise, O Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would rise up in your sovereign glory and work in this land. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering injustice, those who are being persecuted because of their faith. May they find hope and strength in you at this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Tuesday, the 2nd of February. We're continuing to lament before God. We're coming with our pain and our distress, and we're asking boldly that God would act in each one of the situations that we bring to him. Today, we're going to look at two requests that we find in various different Psalms of Lament. We're going to look at this request, grant us help, Lord, and remember your covenant, Lord. So let's look at them together today. And what we find, especially with this first one, grant us help. We realize whenever we're in the midst of suffering that this confronts our self-sufficiency. We may think that we are our own lords, that we are able to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But whenever suffering enters, we realize that we are no longer in control, that we're dependent upon something else, and that something else is God. So whenever we're in distress, whenever we suffer, whenever we're in pain, we then realize that this is much bigger than ourselves, and we become dependent on God. We're always dependent upon God's help. And pain shows us how dependent we are, because there's nothing that we can do about it. And the Psalms of Lament are filled with cries for deliverance, asking God to rescue, asking God to grant strength, asking God to help us to come to our aid. So, for example, Psalm 60, give us aid, grant us help, Lord, against the enemy. Come and help us, Lord, for the help of man is worthless. With God, we will gain the victory. So with God, we have victory, and he will trample down our enemies. So here, when we come to God for help, because he's the one who's able to help, man's worthless. We only have to look at what has happened over this past year with this pandemic. This world that has claimed to be striding ahead with science and knowing so much and amassing so much knowledge, actually, whenever the pandemic strikes, knows so little. Yes, they're able to research into it. Yes, they're able to produce vaccines. Yes, we're able to treat the disease, but we can't eradicate it. We've been told that this disease is going to be here for a long time, and we're going to have to take measures against it. We need to cry out to God for help. Grant us help, Lord. Give us aid, Lord, against the enemy, whatever that enemy is, because what man offers is worthless. And it's the same whether it's a global pandemic or whether it's something small within our lives that's causing us annoyance. Quite often we realize that we are not able to do anything about it ourselves. We need God, and it is only God who is able to change these things for us. It is only God who is able to change the circumstances. By asking God for help, we're not only marshalling the resources of this omnipotent God, we are also reminding our hearts that God can be trusted. We call out to God to give us help, and that reminds us that God is able to give us help, that he can be trusted to know the right thing that we need. So this is important, and it's vital that we do these things. Then secondly, another request that crops up within the Psalms is, remember your covenant, Lord. Whenever the Bible calls God to remember something, it's not that God has forgotten. Instead, it's a way of asking God to be true to the promises that he's made. So you don't say, look, Lord, I think you've maybe forgotten about the covenant that you made. And if you have, I just want to remind you, and I want you to act according to it. That's not the request that's being brought here. This isn't asking boldly. This is saying, Lord, you know the covenant that you made with your people. You know the promises that you've made. I would ask you, Lord, today to act on those promises. I would trust in those promises myself and pray that you will do something about it. It's a way of asking God to be true to these promises. This request tells God, I'm trusting in what your word says, Lord. I've read it. I've heard the promise. I know that it's true. I now want you to do it, Lord. And it fights against the temptation to believe only what we can see. And it goes much deeper than that, with faith to what we know God has said. Asking God to remember connects our present struggle to God's faithfulness in the past. And so we realize that here and now I'm suffering, but Lord, I know that you've been able to help in the past. So here in Psalm 25, we have this idea, remember, Lord. So we're asking God to remember what he has said in the past. So remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. So here's things that have happened in the past. You've shown your mercy, Lord. So Lord, will you not show it now? Lord, you've shown your great love in the past through your actions. Will you not show it now? So As we come in our time of distress, we say to God, God, you've shown your love right throughout the Old Testament. You've loved your people and you have helped them. You've shown mercy to them and you have cared for them. You've forgiven them time and time again. Lord, will you come and do that again? And Lord, we see your mercy and your love in Jesus Christ, your Son, who died for us in our place. Lord, as you have shown that mercy and love to us from of old, will you now come and show that mercy and love now? These are the requests that we can make of God. Lord, remember your covenant. Remember the promises that you've made. Lord, grant us help according to what you've done in the past. So let's come before God then in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a God who has made promises to us, and therefore we trust in you this day. We thank you that you are the God who is able to help us, remind us of that, Lord, and help us to come and ask you day by day for that help. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Wednesday, the 3rd of February, 2021. This week we're continuing with lament, and we ask boldly when the storm clouds gather. So far this week we've been looking at some of the questions that we ask of God in times of lament. Whenever we come with our problems to God, what is it we ask him to do? And we find that as we look at various Psalms of lament, that there are a number of requests that keep popping up in each one of these Psalms. Monday, we looked at our asking God to arise, O Lord, to take his place on the throne and to do what we ask him to do. On Tuesday, it was grant us help and remember your covenant. And today, Wednesday, we're going to look at let justice be done and don't remember our sins. Two very important requests that will come up time and time again as we bring our laments to God. So this first one, let justice be done. What happens quite often with lament is that we see justice is missing or justice is not being administered in the full way that it should be. And so therefore, somebody is losing out. And usually the person that loses out in justice is not in as privileged a position as the person who is given justice. So maybe someone who's poor, it may be someone who's ill, it may be someone who lives in a poor country, it may be someone from a minority ethnic background, it may be losing out on justice because of race or because of religion or because of position in society. There are many ways that we can miss out on justice. It could also simply be the fact that we ourselves are missing justice. We think that we are being hard done by for one particular reason or another, and therefore we come to God and we ask him to let justice be done. We recognize that God is a just God, that he is the one who knows right from wrong and is able to administer rightness and wrongness. And therefore we come to God and we ask him that his justice would be done in the world. We plead it on behalf of others, that they would be treated justly, but we plead it also on behalf of ourselves. So if we turn to Psalm 83, and verses 16, 17 and 18, here we see a plea for justice to be done. Cover their faces with shame, so that men will seek your name, O Lord. And it's a desire for God's name to be glorified and for people to come and to seek him. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the most high over all the earth. So it's a plea that people would know who God is, that he is the most high, and that it is he alone, no one else. No one else in partnership with him, no one else doing the same job as him, but God alone over all the earth, who is just and good. And some laments that theologians would call imprecatory psalms. And in those particular psalms, they long for the punishment of the wicked. And whenever you face injustice, and when God's glory, not just your own pain, is your focus, it's appropriate to ask for justice to be done. Sometimes we think these requests are quite harsh because we look at them from our own motivation, of our own selfish motives, and we think, well, we can't ask God to go and destroy our enemies just simply because we don't like them. But in these Psalms, the psalmist is focused on God and God's glory, and he sees that God is not being given the glory that he deserves, and therefore these people deserve to be punished for not giving God glory. And so it's important that we give God the glory that he deserves and that we see his justice being done. Blunt requests for the defeat of the wicked have often been the prayers of godly people. And lament, I suppose, gives us language for talking to God about unfairness and about abuse and about hidden mistreatments. And you can begin to see that whenever we're talking about injustice, it's not just on a wide scale where groups of people and nations are treated unfairly, but it's also the same with individuals who are treated unfairly. They might be treated unfairly by a state, they might be treated unfairly by another group, or they just might be treated unfairly by one individual. Whatever it is, it's injustice, and God allows us to come to him and cry that his justice would be done. We can boldly call upon God to act for the sake of justice. The second request today, as we ask boldly, is that we ask God not to remember our sins. Don't remember our sins. Now, that is a bold request to bring to God, because God is a holy God. God is a God who cannot tolerate sin, does not enjoy sin, and punishes sin. So to come to him and ask him, don't remember our sin, is quite a bold move on our part. Sometimes the situation behind our lament is directly connected to our sins. You think of David and the adultery that he committed and the murder that he committed, and how Psalm 51 is his response to the prophet Nathan coming and exposing those sins to him. At other times, the transgressions of an entire nation are to blame. And we see that as a nation comes and confesses sin before God, that we then ask on behalf of the nation, don't remember our sins, Lord. So we come to God and we make this request to him, asking that God would not treat us as our sin deserves. We're therefore appealing to God to show mercy and to show grace. We're admitting that we know what our sin deserves, but we would rather that God would do something else with it. So here in Psalm 51, the psalm of David, when he has been accused of adultery and murder, David calls out to God. It's a lament. I have sinned against you, Lord, and you alone. Have mercy on me, O God. And it's this cry for, don't remember my sins. Have mercy on me, God. According to your unfailing love, he appeals to what he knows about God and what God has said to him. According to your great compassion, again, he's speaking of his experience of God, and he's then putting that out there. Do not remember, Lord, what I have done. Blot out my transgressions. And that's what David needs in this particular case. It's not that he needs somebody to come along and to deal with a problem. He knows that he is the problem, and he knows what that problem deserves, and therefore he appeals directly to God that he would not remember his sins, that he would forgive him and show mercy. And again in Psalm 79, do not hold against us the sins of the fathers. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. It's pointing to God, it's seeking God, and recognizing that God alone is able to deal with sin. Help us, O God, our Saviour, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Asking God to deliver and to forgive. Remember not my sins. So let's come to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you whenever there is injustice in the world. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you whenever we ourselves have sinned against you. We seek your forgiveness today, Lord, and ask that you would not remember our sins, that you would not hold them against us, but that you would come with mercy quickly to meet us. And Lord, we recognize that we are in desperate need of you. So Lord, deliver us. Forgive us, we pray. Help us, Lord, to spot injustice in the lives of others. And where there is, Lord, may we lament it and come to you in prayer, seeking you day by day. So Lord, we ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 4th of February. And today we're going to be looking at some more requests that we can bring to God as we seek to ask boldly when the storm clouds gather. We're following this idea of lamenting whenever we are in pain or distress, whenever something is happening that we do not agree with. We come to God in lament and we ask him to intervene and to step in. And the two requests that we're looking at today both ask God to do that. The first one, restore us. Only God can do that. And then we appeal to God, don't be silent, listen to me. Because we have something that we want to say to God and we want him to respond to it. So first of all, let's think about restore us as a request that we bring boldly to God. So we've just been complaining about what has been happening, about things that have fallen apart and are broken. And we now ask God boldly, will you restore us? Will you sort this out? And a number of lament psalms feature a request for God to bring about restoration. Look here at Psalm 80, and the request is quite plain. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. The psalmist here is looking for God's favour and his face shining upon them. He's looking for salvation so that they might be saved. And in doing those things, he's praying that God would restore him. And the big picture of the gospel anticipates that one day there'll be an ultimate restoration, as it were, that it'll not just be a little restoration here and now in our lives, but we're looking ahead to the new heaven and the new earth when all things will be restored. And that theme is woven right throughout the pages of Scripture, from the beginning in Genesis right to the end in Revelation. And lament, I suppose, yearns for the fulfillment of this future reality. That as we lament, ultimately what we want to see happen is for Jesus Christ to come back again and for us to be with him for all eternity. And as we lament, it's because we don't see that reality in the world today that we are distressed and we come to God seeking his will to be done. We're praying that we would see this ultimate restoration. And in the meantime, we may have to be content with smaller restorations, but we still come to God and we ask him and we do it boldly and we bring our request before him. So in the here and now, it could be for any number of reasons that we are looking for restoration. We might be just looking for a restoration of our soul, where we feel broken and in bits, and we pray that God would come and restore us again, rebuild us again, remake us again. It could be a restoration of a marriage that has fallen apart, or a family where there are frictions and where there has been falling out. Could be a restoration of church, where, again, there are disagreements and where you want to see people coming to faith and trusting in Jesus. At the moment, it might be a restoration of our nation. And, of course, it could well be the restoration of the new heaven and the new earth. Regardless of what it is we're asking to be restored, we come to God and we seek him and we ask that he would do the restoration work. And we pray that he would be the one who would be glorified through all this. The second request then that we're going to look at today whenever we lament is, don't be silent. Listen to me. It's a request that we bring to God. And as you read through the Psalms of Lament, you'll see this cropping up time and time again, this familiar request. And you'll notice as well how often God's silence is mentioned in the Psalms. Look at Psalm 28, and it combines these concerns into a personal request, as it were. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I'll be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy, as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. So it's a request, asking that God would listen. If you've ever been in that position where you think that God is not listening, where you come to him and there just seems to be nothing coming back, no recognition that there is anyone who's listening, we need to reach out to God in those circumstances and ask him to help us. If we battle the dismay of wondering whether God still hears, then we need to keep pouring out our requests for him. We don't stop asking just because we think he's not listening. We say to the Lord, as Psalm 86, hear my prayer. That's a bold request, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. This is the God who has created all things. This is the God who reigns on high. And we're coming boldly to him and saying, look, Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to what I have to say. This is important. And it's a bold request that we bring to God. So the plan is that with each one of these requests that we've looked at this week, that we should be able to take those requests ourselves and insert them into our own prayers of lament. That we come to God and whenever we feel as though we are on our own and no one is listening, we say, look, Lord, listen. Please listen to me. Don't be silent. Let me hear your voice. Let me know how you would guide me. So let's come before God in prayer and let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come in lament again, we see another couple of requests that we can bring to you. We pray, Lord, that you would restore us. And Lord, we are a broken people. We need you to restore us in more ways than we will ever know. And therefore, Lord, we trust in you and we ask for your restoration. We pray also today, Lord, that you would not be silent, but that you would listen to us. Lord, speak so that we might hear. Come to us, Lord, and tell us what you would have us do. And Lord, we do thank you that you are a God who does speak and a God who does not hide away. So therefore, Lord, we bring our prayers to you now and we ask that you would help us day by day to come to you in lament and to ask boldly for the things that we need. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Friday the 5th of February. We're reaching the end of another week, and this week we've been learning how we can ask boldly when the storm clouds gather. We've been looking at a number of Psalms of lament, and instead of just looking at them in detail, we're glancing through them and picking out the themes and the requests that the psalmist asks of God. And today we've got two requests. The first one is teach me, and the second one is vindicate me. So let's see what the psalmist would have us find out from these Psalms. And you see, pain and suffering have a way of, I suppose, getting our attention. It can be a wake-up call to us, a unique opportunity for spiritual growth, that we listen intently to what God has to say in a way that we don't listen whenever everything is going well. And sometimes God uses that pain and that suffering to get our attention and to get us to listen to him. So we're looking here at these Psalms, where the psalmist is coming and he's asking God to teach him something that is important. So Psalm 90 and verse 12, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So again, you can see what has been happening here in this psalm. The psalmist has been complaining. He's been complaining about the way things are, the way it appears as if God is not with him and not helping him. And then he comes with the request, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." It's reorientating our view of the world, that we look at it from God's perspective rather than our own. And we need God to teach us and to show us how these things are. Again, Psalm 86 and verse 11 has the same request again. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." We're asking God here to teach us the way that we should be living our lives, teaching us how we can walk in God's truth. Teach us how our heart can be undivided so that it is focused fully on God, that I may fear God's name. And this is important, that we do this, that we look at these things, that we know what God is saying to us. And what is it we need to ask God today to teach us through our struggle? If we're crying out to God honestly and bringing our complaints to him, what is it then that God needs to teach us? Does he need to teach us the value of following his word? Does he need to teach us the value of truth in this world? Does he need to teach us what his grace is all about? There are many things that we can come to him and ask him to teach us so that our lives might not be wasted. So this is an important request to bring. And maybe we're coming to God and saying, "Lord, teach me to understand what's happening. Teach me, Lord, the words that I need to say to put this into context. Teach me, Lord, how I can cope with what you've done." And then the last of our requests this week is, "Vindicate me." And you'll see that in Psalm 34 here. One of the most personal requests relates to this desire to defend ourselves. If you've ever been falsely accused or misunderstood over something or unfairly treated, you know the desperate desire to set the record straight. You want everyone to understand what it was you meant, what it was you said, and the motivation behind it. Rather than going down the path of bitterness or counterpunching, lament gives us a place to ask God for the vindication that we desire, and maybe even the vindication that we rightly deserve. So the request is here, "Awake and rise to my defence." It's that idea of rise, O Lord, to my defence. "Contend for me, vindicate me, my God and Lord. Vindicate me in your righteousness, O Lord, my God, and do not let them gloat over me." Whenever the injustice has been served to us, this can be our requests. And maybe you are suffering at this time because you've been misunderstood, because people have chosen to believe something that wasn't right about you. Come to God and ask him to vindicate you. Come to God and ask him to put it right. Because you know that he's the God of justice. You know that he's the God who is good, and therefore he can be trusted. So it's important that we awake and that we are ready to hear what God has to say. And so that kind of request, vindicate me, O Lord, just becomes a balm for our soul to restore, to ease the burden, to help us once again, and we can come and we can trust in him. So it's just a short selection of requests this week, but maybe there's some of those requests that you can put into your own words. There are some of those requests that can fit into your situation and are the very things that you need to ask God for. Maybe you've been struggling, thinking, well, look, what do I ask God for? What do I come to him with? I know what's wrong, but I just don't know what's right. And so therefore, this is it, to come to God, asking him to vindicate us, to come to God, asking him to teach us so that we understand. So this week, lament. Bring your concerns before God with a prayer of lament and take the step of asking him boldly to see what he has to say. And then next week, as we conclude our little series in lament, we're going to see how we learn to trust in God despite all that has happened around us. So let's come to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who hears our laments. You understand our concerns, and whenever we come to you and we cry out, you listen and you answer. We pray today, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would teach us your ways and help us to understand what you're doing in this world. Pray, Lord, that you would vindicate us, that you would help us, justify us, Lord, in your sight, that people would realize that what we have done has been done out of the right motives. And therefore, Lord, we seek your forgiveness and we pray that you'd be with us. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of lament. We thank you for the way that we are able to come and pray to you. And we ask now, Lord, that you would be with us and that you would help us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.